Prohibition was 11 days away when Frazee made this move, which would drive Red Sox fans to drink. Ruth had been instrumental in bringing three world championships to Boston. In 1919, had hit an unthinkable 29 homers, tops in Major League history, and yet Frazee traded him for cash. Frazee pocketed $100,000 plus a $300,000 loan for a mortgage on Fenway Park. The Sox owner compounded the calamity by saying that the Yankees were taking a gamble and that he planned to use the cash to replenish his team. Those Yankees were taking quite a gamble. Yes, they were. Led by Babe Ruth, the greatest player in the history of baseball, the Yankees won their first American League pennant in 1921 and their first World Championship in 1923. Ruth became the foundation for the greatest dynasty in the history of professional sports. The Pinstripers won six pennants and three World Series in the 20s. Since Frazee's shrewd transaction, the Yankees have won 33 pennants and 22 World Championships, while the Red Sox have won four pennants and zero championships. How and why did this happen? This is the story about excessive irrational passion for a baseball team that has come close to but hasn't won a World Series since our grandfathers and great-grandfathers were on the threshold of victory in World War I. It is a story about baseball's original sin, the selling of Babe Ruth, and the subsequent 70 years of sorrow for New England's baseball fans. Red Sox fans care. That's what makes the Boston baseball saga irresistible and eternal. The Red Sox home opener at Fenway Park is a pardonable excuse in some Massachusetts towns to leave school early. Commercial pilots flying between Boston and Nova Scotia notice more lights lit in houses during the midnight hours when the Sox are playing on the West Coast. Loaves of Big Yaz bread sit in freezers, souvenirs from the summer of 1967. Everything hinges on the Red Sox, said Joe Morgan, a Massachusetts native who in 1988 became the first local Red Sox manager since Shano Collins in 1932. In New England, the Red Sox are a way of life, no less cyclical and predictable than the four seasons which define the routines of every person in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. A baseball year starts in the spring, and Red Sox spring is like New England's, short, cold, wet, and hopeful. Northeastern spring baseball weather is rotten, and the Red Sox usually play to the level of the conditions. They don't hit many home runs, and it's too cold to throw, catch, or run. Each April, on Patriots Day, the Sox and some lucky opponent play the only morning game in the major leagues. Outside the ballpark, a few blocks toward the Charles River, hundreds of spare-time athletes do something the Red Sox rarely do. They sprint to the finish line. The Red Sox and New England summers are usually hot. If there is any wind, it is blowing toward the wall, and the ball flies out of Fenway toward the eastbound lane of the Massachusetts Turnpike. July is kind. The Red Sox usually lead the majors in hitting and send four or five guys to the All-Star game. This is when the Sox are hot. The gonfalon is ours. The Red Sox are truly boys of the summer. It's always been the fall that's given them trouble. Autumn is Boston baseball's season of the witch. Such irony. Crisp, color-splashed New England in September-October is the best place on the planet. But the Red Sox dread the 9th and 10th months because they've learned that the local ball team never peaks when the foliage does. Autumn means harvest in the apple orchards, but it's been 70 years since the last bumper crop for Red Sox fans. New Englanders know winter is coming and expect the worst. They don't call this season fall for nothing.